Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God, my strength and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Wash your hands. Dinner's ready. Did you wash your hands? Wait a minute, let me see those hands. Did you wash them? Are you sure? How many times, as children or adults, for that matter, have we heard this? Maybe you were a child who just came in from outdoors. I was working out in the garden. You were taking out the trash. She was petting the dog. They were out playing catch. To my 21st century ears, the Pharisees seem to make total sense. My hands are dirty. Of course I'm going to wash them, especially before I eat. In an age of antibiotic-resistant supergerms, we quickly reach for a bar of soap or the omnipresent bottle of hand sanitizer, lather, rinse, and repeat. However, this modern conception of cleanliness did not develop until the 19th century, with the work of medical practitioners such as Ignaz Semmelweis, Louis Pasteur, and Joseph Lister. These doctors realized that the transference of germs could be prevented by soap and water. So something else must be going on here. We need to look back and frame the scene in the cultural context of its time. At the time of this lesson, the concept of germs as we know them did not exist. Instead, there were the notions of purity and impurity. These categories both referred to things temporal and spiritual. In fact, an entire set of rules governing purification evolved based on God's initial commandment to Moses. One must be pure to enter the temple. The Pharisees' interpretation of law revolved around the concept that God's people were all to be like priests. Therefore, they held to the same high principles outlined in scripture and traditions. The Pharisees believed that all Jews in their daily life should observe the biblical rules and rituals concerning purification. So when Jesus' disciples begin to eat, the Pharisees evoke Exodus and Leviticus and God's commandments to Moses for washing. As they themselves held to the strictest interpretation of Jewish law, why wouldn't Jesus? Jesus turns around and confronts the Pharisees with Isaiah's prophecy and strikes at the heart of the matter. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the human tradition. However good intention the Pharisees were at interpreting, debating, and building upon God's law, they lost sight of whose law it was in the first place. Jesus is saying plainly to the Pharisees, there are 10 commandments. It's that simple. But we are human. It's a wonder how quickly we can overcomplicate things in the name of pleasing God. As a church and as Christians, we have a long legacy of choosing tradition over God. We choose false piety over honoring each other. Countless traditions and rules in the name of God are what separate us from his love. We have heard in our own communities of faith, or been told by others, that only men should be priests, blacks should sit in the balcony, women should remain silent, LGBTQ people are not welcome to participate. You cannot wear those clothes here. If you don't speak English, you should leave. If you have not paid your pledge, you cannot receive communion. Do the behaviors of our corporal body speak the voice of Jesus we hear in the gospel? What can we do to break the traditions that block us from God and each other? Jesus has the answer. It's an inside job. He says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. What do you feed your heart? When our hearts are blocked and filled with that which is not of God, we choose to honor and accept those things. Overwhelmingly inundated by messages from our neighbors, society, news, social media, and politics, It can be so easy to default to defilement and with that which is not God. The author Richmond Walker offers us this counter message. God has given us two things, his spirit and the power of choice, to accept or not as we will. We have the gift of free will. When we choose the path of selfishness and greed and pride, we are refusing to accept God's spirit. When we choose the path of love and service, we accept God's spirit and it flows into us and makes all things new. This is good news. We have a choice. God yearns for us with a love that knows no bounds. All God asks of us to do is turn around and open ourselves to unbridled love. How can we do this? I offer three words and meditations to try and practice this today. Repent, surrender, and receive. Repent. In the moment after the prayers of the people today and before the confession, take a moment and reflect on this simple prayer. God, I can't, but you can. I confess and open my heart to your will. Purify my iniquities. Surrender. Listen to these words and pray into the offertory hymn this morning. Just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. And receive. As we come to the table, take a moment to reflect on this. In participating in communion and partaking in spiritual food and drink, God's gift, so freely given, restores and nourishes our hearts and minds for the week ahead. Amen.